mindfulness-based eating awareness training components, gentle exercise, intuitive eating principles, exercise, feel the difference. Epilogue. This may be the end of the book, but if you choose to become an intuitive eater, it becomes a new beginning. Take the journey to becoming an intuitive eater, and you will go through a process that is bound to challenge some of your most entrenched thoughts, and perhaps stir up some deeply hidden feelings and fears. You know that living in a world of dieting chaos with its self-blame and failure doesn't work. It doesn't work metabolically or emotionally, and it certainly doesn't work spiritually. Clients talk over and over about feeling beaten down, defeated, as if their souls are actually hurting. By the time they come to this process, many have given up hope of ever being a normal eater. Intuitive eating is an empowering process which not only promotes health, but is also your gateway to freedom. When you are freed from the tyranny of food and body anxiety, you have the space and renewed energy to pursue your dreams and discover your purpose in life. But becoming an intuitive eater requires a highly conscious decision and commitment. It means letting go of the old way of surviving and opening up to a new way of viewing life. It might take soul-searching and introspective work to decide whether dieting has been keeping you from your deepest appreciation of life. Making this viewpoint change can be difficult to accomplish initially, but can ultimately become a way of living that knows no return. To begin this paradigm shift, you'll need to consider that there are many trade-offs in the eating world. Having the willpower to stay on a diet can give you a temporary sense of power and control, while being an intuitive eater can give you a lifelong sense of self-empowerment. The acts of dieting and rebound binging can offer excitement. So does eating forbidden foods. But when excitement no longer comes from food or dieting, other aspects of life are freed to be experienced. When you are using food or the obsession that dieting creates to numb yourself or to distract yourself from your feelings the majority of time, you might feel calmer and less stressed. But your life can seem like a blurred, out-of-focus home movie. You know you're alive and racing through life, but you rarely experience its highs, lows, and nuances of sensation. Once you peel off the layers of dieting and overeating numbness, you'll discover a richness in life that for some has been buried for decades. When you become an intuitive eater who responds to those innate biological and food preference signals, you become acutely in touch with your body, thoughts, and feelings. Ultimately, this sensitivity can transcend to the rest of your life. You also learn to operate from a framework of curiosity rather than judgment. When dieting, every digression from the food plan becomes an opportunity to become critical of yourself, and criticism can become deadly and infectious. It's not unusual for this critical viewpoint to spill over into other behaviors, or even to family members and friends. As an intuitive eater, you see the food experience as an opportunity to learn more about your thoughts and feelings. You may find that this curiosity triggers other explorations in your life. You may even decide to make serious changes in other parts of your life that have been making you stressed or unhappy. Some clients have decided to change jobs or remove themselves from abusive relationships as a result of going deeper into the meaning of life. Others decide to get into counseling with a psychotherapist. One of our clients aptly suggested that intuitive eating is about waiting and learning to be patient. She finds herself waiting to eat until she is hungry. Then she describes waiting during a timeout in the midst of her meal to see if she is full. When she is experiencing a difficult feeling that she used to cover up with overeating, she now sits with the feeling and waits it out until she feels better. And in the bigger picture, she is waiting for her eating to normalize so that she feels the freedom and peace in her life that she has so badly craved. She says that this process has taught her to be more patient than she has ever been in her life. She has decided that patience is golden, that what she has learned about herself as she patiently waits is more valuable than all the pounds she has lost, and, of course, regained, and all the money she has spent on her failed diets. Learning to wait has freed her from the burden of dieting and from a life in which she felt locked and trapped with no escape. We deeply hope that you will be able to free yourself from dieting by reclaiming the intuitive eating ability with which you were born. Appendix A. Common questions and answers about intuitive eating. We have compiled some of the most frequently asked questions by our clients as they go through the process of intuitive eating. We hope that these answers will also be answers to some of your questions. Question number one, how long will this process take? Answer, unfortunately, this question has no pat answer. It depends on how long you've been dieting and how entrenched the voices of the food police are. It also depends on how willing you are to put weight loss off and concentrate on changing your relationship with food. We have seen some people connect quite rapidly with the concept and take only a month or two to be eating in a new way. For others, it's taken 2 or 3 or even 5 years to accept the principles and make serious changes. Question number two. If I let myself eat whatever I want, won't I eat uncontrollably and gain lots of weight? Answer. When you have made complete peace with food and know that what you like will always be available to you, you'll be able to stop after a moderate amount. If you're only giving yourself pseudo-permission, it won't work because you don't really believe you'll always have access to this food. So check out how genuine your permission giving is. Remember, guilt is what tends to make people eat uncontrollably. Intuitive eating means having no guilt in your eating. When you first begin the healing process, you may find that you're eating more of the foods that you had previously restricted. This restriction has led to deprivation, and you may end up eating more of these foods for a while. Once the deprivation is healed, these foods will take a balanced place in your eating life. Question number three, won't my friends be judgmental and question my eating? Answer, you may find that many people won't understand what you're doing. Most of our society is conditioned to dieting as a way of living. In fact, some people are perpetually talking about being on diets or saying that they should be on diets. So, yes, some people will be judgmental. You may find that it's hard to explain what you are doing. Remember, this is an intuitive process. Some of the time, you'll just be feeling your way through it and knowing that it feels right to you. Question number four. Should I try to explain what I'm doing? Answer, you can try, but it might be frustrating. Key phrases to give out would be, dieting leads to deprivation, deprivation leads to craving, and craving can lead to out-of-control behavior. I eat whatever I want when I'm hungry and find that I'm more easily able to stop when I'm full. When I feel satisfied with what I eat less. I'm learning to cope with my emotions without using food. Question number five. Will I ever lose weight doing this? Answer. The most important statement that we can make is that weight loss must be put on the back burner as you go through the intuitive eating process. If you focus on losing weight, it will affect your decisions about eating and sabotage the process. If you have been eating without attention to your intuitive signals and have been eating for emotional reasons, it's likely that you're not presently at your natural healthy weight. As you heal from the diet mentality, it is likely that your weight will normalize. If, on the other hand, you have an unrealistic view of what normal weight is and are trying to be thinner than your natural healthy weight, you won't lose weight. Question number 6. What if I can't lose weight? What's this all worth? Answer. If you are someone who is genetically destined to weigh more than society's standards or your own unrealistic standards, and therefore cannot lose weight, you will derive a great deal of peace and contentment with this process. You will get off the treadmill of deprivation and guilt. You will eat in a way that's pleasurable and satisfying. You will stop feeling guilty about your eating and stop blaming yourself for being overweight. You will stop overeating, and with it, stop feeling uncomfortable and bloated. You'll stop intermittently undereating, and with that, stop feeling starved and uncomfortable. All in all, achieving an intuitive eating style will free your time for more enriching thoughts and feelings, rather than food worry and guilt. For many people, that means ultimately feeling happier. Question number 7. What if I never feel hungry? Answer. Some people report that they don't feel hunger in their stomachs, but ultimately get raging headaches or some other symptom of not having eaten. For some people, they've dieted and or binged for so long that they've lost complete touch with hunger. If this is the case for you, you can give yourself a period of time where you purposely eat every 3 to 4 hours to try to reestablish your hunger signals. Your body needs food in these intervals, and you may find that after a while your body trusts that it's going to get fed and will respond by expressing hunger. Question number 8. How will I know when I'm full? Answer. When you have learned to honor your hunger, you'll find that your fullness signals are much more apparent to you. If you eat all of the time and don't feel hunger, it's hard to experience fullness. You'll have no base with which to start to judge the difference. It's helpful to take a time out in the midst of your meal to test your fullness. Question number 9. Can I ever eat something if it just looks good but I'm not hungry? Answer. The intuitive eating process is not another diet with a set of absolute rules. Although honoring your hunger is one of the first principles, there will be many times when you'll choose to eat something just for its taste or sensual pleasure, without being hungry. We call this taste hunger. If you give yourself permission for occasional responses to taste hunger, you'll feel more satisfied with your entire eating experience and find that you end up eating smaller quantities of food in general. Question number 10. What about sweets? Should I eat them when I'm hungry? Answer. In general, if you wait until you're hungry to eat sweets, you'll find that you may end up eating a larger quantity than you might need to satisfy your sweet tooth, because you'll be trying to satisfy your biological hunger. Most cultures offer sweets after the meal to please the palate and to punctuate the end of the meal. Having something sweet then is usually in response to taste hunger. Question number 11. What if I want to eat when I can't handle my feelings? Answer. Generally, the quickest route to resolving emotional conflict is to allow yourself to experience your feelings to their utmost. But sometimes this can be overwhelming. Some people need to be with a friend or a therapist to feel safe enough to let their feelings come out. Others are able to tolerate their feelings for some period of time, but then need an escape for a while until they feel able to deal with them again. If that is where you find yourself, then search for healthy ways to comfort and distract yourself from the feelings so that you don't end up diving into food as a way of coping. Question number 12. What about good nutrition? If I eat whatever I like, I won't be healthy. Answer. We have found, in case after case, that giving yourself permission to eat whatever you like ultimately results in a balance of food choice. You'll find, after you have finally made peace with food, that the majority of your food choices will be nutritionally healthy, and a smaller portion will be play food. The nutritionally healthy foods take care of your body, while the play food takes care of your soul. After all, if you never have to be deprived of a favorite food again, you won't have a great urge to overdo it. You'll want to feel good, and feeling good comes from eating according to your hunger and fullness signals, without stuffing yourself. Question number 13. Do I have to exercise to make this work? Answer. We have put our chapter on exercise toward the end of the book because we find that too much emphasis on exercise in the beginning of this process can make some people feel as if they're on another diet. Exercise is something that you'll probably want to do because it makes you feel good. If you disconnect your eating from your exercise, you'll find that you don't get into the old trap of feeling that exercise is for the purpose of weight loss. Exercise is a benefit for all people, young or old, regardless of weight. It's part of a healthy existence. Look for opportunities to move that are fun and enjoyable. If, on the other hand, you are someone who is adamant about not exercising, this process will still be of benefit to you because it frees you from the world of dieting. But wait and see. You may find yourself moving despite yourself. Question number 14. Should I tell others that they should try this process? Answer. Most people don't like being told what to do. It usually makes them feel rebellious. You're probably better off just living this new lifestyle. If people ask you why you seem so calm and not obsessed about food or why you look so radiant, you can tell them what you're doing. They might then ask about doing it themselves. Question number 15. What do I do if a host or hostess tries to push more food on me when I don't want any more? Answer. This person is not respecting your boundaries and does not have a right to pressure you. Say, "No, thank you," firmly. Say that you're full and don't want to feel uncomfortable. Remember, your intuitive signals are what count, and you need to honor them. Appendix B, Step-by-Step Guidelines. If you're someone who cooks, you'll know that before you learned how to cook, just pulling out a recipe card might have caused you to feel anxious about whether the finished concoction would ever resemble any cooked dish you'd ever before seen. In order to gain a comfort level in your kitchen, you probably needed to understand some of the basic concepts of cooking. If the recipe said simmer, you wouldn't have known the difference between boiling, simmering, or sautéing. The following guidelines are similar to your recipe card. If you listen to them before you read the rest of the book, you might get confused and misunderstand the purpose of each. Once you've become comfortable with the intuitive eating philosophy, however, these guidelines can become a quick and easy reference when you need to reconnect with the process. Step 1, Principle 1. Reject the diet mentality. Throw out the diet books and magazine articles that offer you false hope of losing weight quickly, easily, and permanently. Get angry at the lies that have led you to feel as if you were a failure every time a new diet stopped working and you gained back all of the weight. If you allow even one small hope to linger that a new and better diet might be lurking around the corner, it will prevent you from being free to rediscover intuitive eating. 1. Make a firm commitment to give up dieting for the rest of your life. As long as you hold on to even the slightest thought, promise, or hope that dieting is in your future, you will sabotage your ability to become an intuitive eater. 2. Throw out all of your calorie counters and old diet books and articles. 3. When friends talk about the newest fad diet, or you see a TV commercial or magazine article on dieting, avoid getting drawn into the excitement that might arise. Instead, take a deep breath and gently assure yourself that you are committed to a new way of thinking and feeling about food and eating, and that dieting is not a part of this new process. 4. Protect your food boundaries by refusing to allow others to tell you what to eat, when to eat, or how much to eat. Protect your body boundaries by refusing to allow others to make comments about your weight and body. 5. If you notice that you're feeling rebellious or beginning to eat unconsciously, check in with yourself to see if you're still holding on to diet thinking and diet rules that are triggering this reaction, or if you're being bombarded by any outside boundary invaders. Step 2, Principle 2, Honor Your Hunger. Keep your body biologically fed with adequate energy and carbohydrates. Otherwise, you can trigger a primal drive to overeat. Once you reach the moment of excessive hunger, all intentions of moderate, conscious eating are fleeting and irrelevant. Learning to honor this first biological signal sets the stage for rebuilding trust with yourself and food. 1. Begin to listen to the smallest noise or feeling that indicates that you are experiencing hunger, such as a growling or grumbling stomach, a slight headache, a lack of mental focus, grouchiness, lack of energy, etc. 2. As soon as you recognize your biological hunger, make the time to eat. 3. If you neglect this most basic signal and get overhungry, it will be very hard to identify what you really want to eat or when you've had enough. Experiment with beginning to eat at around a 3 or 4 on the hunger discovery scale. 4. If you don't seem to experience hunger signals over long periods of time, you might want to try eating every 3 to 4 hours. Eventually, your body will get used to being fed regularly and will begin to provide you with dependable hunger signals. 5. Keep in mind that if you are sick or stressed, hunger signals may be blunted. It's important to feed your body on those days, too, even if you don't feel the hunger. 6. Be prepared. Be sure to make time for shopping for food, cooking, or picking up pre-made food, and for gathering snacks or even meals to put in a lunch bag or to carry in the car. In this way, you show respect for your body's signals and can provide for your needs. Step 3, Principle 3. Make peace with food. Call a truce. Stop the food fight. Give yourself unconditional permission to eat. If you tell yourself that you can't or shouldn't have a particular food, it can lead to intense feelings of deprivation that build into uncontrollable cravings and often binging. When you finally give in to your forbidden food, eating will be experienced with such intensity, it usually results in Last Supper overeating and overwhelming guilt. 1. Give yourself unconditional permission to eat whatever you really like. Make avocado emotionally equivalent to lettuce, and peach pie equivalent to a peach. 2. Beware of giving yourself pseudo-permission by telling yourself that you can eat what you like, but continuing to hold guilty thoughts about your food choices. It won't work. 3. Do not deprive yourself of any food that sounds appealing to you. 4. Observe how your body feels when eating this food and how satisfying it is to your tongue. Make a mental note of these experiences for your memory bank. 5. Keep an ample supply of all the foods that you think you might like to eat. Restock the supply when it gets low. Step 4, Principle 4. Challenge the food police. Scream a loud no to thoughts in your head that declare you're good for eating minimal calories or bad because you ate a piece of chocolate cake. The food police monitor the unreasonable rules that dieting has created. The police station is housed deep in your psyche, and its loudspeaker shouts negative barbs, hopeless phrases, and guilt-provoking indictments. Chasing the food police away is a critical step in returning to intuitive eating. 1. Identify your distorted food, dieting, and eating thoughts and beliefs. Throw them out and replace them with the truth. 2. Listen for the destructive voices which can speak harmful thoughts. The food police voice is harsh and critical and is driven by the dieting mentality. It can be stimulated by listening to the media, parents, and peers. It keeps you at war with your relationship with food and your body. The nutrition informant voice is judgmental and colludes with the food police. It gives you nutrition facts to help justify your dieting. The diet rebel voice is angry and is born in response to boundary invaders who cross over the line into the private space that holds your intuitive eating signals and feelings about your body. It protects your autonomy while also causing some destructive eating behavior. 3. Develop the helpful voices that can get you through hard times and make your eating relationship more comfortable. The food anthropologist voice describes neutral observations. It notes your thoughts and actions with respect to your food world to help you make choices about what you want to eat, when you want to eat, and how much you need to eat. It can also record these thoughts in your memory bank so they will be easily accessible when needed in the future to help you make eating decisions. The nurturer voice is soft and gentle and provides soothing and reassuring statements that support you through this process. The rebel ally voice evolves from the diet rebel voice and helps you protect your boundaries against anyone who invades your eating space. The nutrition ally voice replaces the nutrition informant voice when the food police are exiled. It is interested in healthy eating with no hidden dieting agenda. The intuitive eater voice speaks to your gut reactions. You were born with this voice, and it gives you messages and answers about your eating that only you can know. It also helps you make decisions that only you have the right to make. 4. Watch out for negative self-talk based on the following irrational beliefs and distorted thinking. Dichotomous thinking. Thinking in an all-or-nothing, black-and-white fashion. Absolutist thinking. Magical thinking that believes that one behavior will absolutely affect and control a second behavior. Catastrophic thinking. Thinking in exaggerated ways. Pessimistic thinking, or the cup is half empty, where a given situation is seen in its worst case scenario. Linear thinking. Thinking in a straight line, allowing for no variables, focusing on the end results. 5. Replace negative self-talk with positive self-talk based on rational thinking. Some examples of rational thinking include living in the gray, moderate thoughts, not black and white, permissive thoughts and statements, accurate, non-exaggerated thoughts, the cup is half full thoughts, creating the best case scenario. Process thinking. Focus on continual change and learning, prioritizing the means rather than the end. Step 5. Principle 5. Feel your fullness. Listen for the body signals that tell you that you are no longer hungry. Observe the signs that show that you're comfortably full. Pause in the middle of a meal or food and ask yourself how the food tastes and what your current fullness level is. 1. Pay attention to your fullness signals. But remember, the only way that you can do this is to give yourself unconditional permission to eat. You must firmly believe that you will be able to eat again when you get hungry, in order to be able to stop when you're full. 2. Be sure to honor your hunger. If you're over hungry, your urgency to eat will create great difficulty in recognizing your fullness signals. Equally, if you begin eating before true hunger arises, your fullness signals will be muted. You're likely to be guided by your tongue instead of your stomach. 3. Discard the notion that you must finish everything on your plate because you fear wasting food. Far more damage can be done to your body and your psyche by eating extra food than by discarding it. 4. Increase your consciousness in order to help you identify satiety. Try eating without distraction so that you can be fully present during your meal. Pause in the middle of a meal or snack and take a time out to check your fullness level. This is not a commitment to stop eating, but a commitment to check in with your body and taste buds. Take a taste check. Ask, how does the food taste? Does it meet your expectations? Is it satisfying your taste buds? Or are you continuing to eat just because it's there? Take a satiety check. Pay attention to the signals that your stomach gives you to indicate that you're becoming comfortably full. Ask, what's my hunger or fullness level? Am I still hungry? Is hunger going away? Do I feel insatiable? Am I beginning to feel satisfied? Practice stopping at a level 6 or 7 on the fullness discovery scale. Identify the last bite threshold. This is the end point. You know that the bite of food in your mouth is the last. Don't worry if you can't do this at first. It will ultimately become intuitive. If you feel disappointed that you have to stop at this point, remember, you can eat this food or another food again when your hunger returns. Eating is actually more satisfying when you're comfortably hungry rather than already full. You're giving yourself a gift by stopping now. Make a concrete statement to yourself that you've reached the threshold bite by putting your fork and knife on your plate or by moving your plate forward a little bit. Give your leftovers to the server to wrap up if you're at a restaurant, or put them in the refrigerator if you're at home. Say, no, thank you, firmly to your host or hostess if more food is being thrust upon you. You have a right to say no. 5. Make sure that you have plenty of food available for your meals. If you give yourself too little to eat, you'll never feel satisfied or full. You don't need too much food, but too little food will sabotage this process. 6. Select foods that have some substance. If you only choose air foods, such as rice cakes and raw vegetables, you'll get a false sense of satiety, only to get hungry again much too quickly. Feed yourself real food. Step 6. Principle 6. Discover the satisfaction factor. The Japanese have the wisdom to promote pleasure as one of their goals of healthy living. In our fury to be thin and healthy, we often overlook one of the most basic gifts of existence, the pleasure and satisfaction that can be found in the eating experience. When you eat what you really want, in an environment that is inviting and conducive, the pleasure you derive will be a powerful force in helping you feel satisfied and content. By providing this experience for yourself, you will find that it takes much less food to decide you've had enough. 1. Give yourself permission to seek pleasure in your eating. The more pleasurable your food is, the more satisfaction you'll derive from your eating experience. The more satisfied you feel, the less you'll need to eat, especially if you know that this food will never be forbidden. 2. Figure out what you really want to eat by paying attention to the following sensations associated with eating. Taste, sweet, savory, salty, sour, or bitter. Texture, Hard, crunchy, smooth, creamy, etc. Aroma, sweet, acrid, mild, etc. Appearance, color, shape, eye appeal, etc. Temperature, hot, cold, icy, temperate. Volume or filling capacity, airy, light, dense. 3. Think about how your body might feel when you finish eating. Will you be physically satisfied by your choice? Will a dense food make you feel uncomfortably full later, or an airy food leave you feeling empty? Will an overly rich meal give you stomach distress? Will a primarily sweet meal send your blood sugar on a roller coaster ride? 4. Make your eating environment enjoyable. Eat when gently hungry rather than over hungry. Make time to appreciate your food. Create an aesthetic environment. Try pretty placemats, candles, colorful dishes, classical music. Keep the noise level down. Sit down to eat. Take several deep breaths before you eat. Savor your food. Pay attention to eating as slowly as you can. Taste each bite of food that you put in your mouth. Provide variety in your meal. Avoid tension while eating. 5. Don't settle. Eliminate the unenjoyable. If you don't love it, don't eat it. And if you love it, savor it. 6. Check in with your taste buds in the midst of your meal to see if the food still tastes as good as it did when you began. 7. Remember, it doesn't always have to be perfect. Sometimes meals are not in your control. There are many more opportunities ahead for satisfying meals. Step 7, Principle 7. Cope with your emotions without using food. Find ways to comfort, nurture, distract, and resolve your issues without using food. Anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and anger are emotions we all experience throughout life. Each has its own trigger, and each has its own appeasement. Food won't fix any of these feelings. It may comfort for the short term, distract from the pain, or even numb you into a food hangover. But food won't solve the problem. If anything, eating for an emotional hunger will only make you feel worse in the long run. You'll ultimately have to deal with the source of the emotion, as well as the discomfort of overeating. 1. Ask yourself, am I biologically hungry? If your answer is yes, honor your hunger and eat. 2. When you find yourself searching for food but know that you're not biologically hungry, take a time out to ask yourself, what am I feeling? Are you scared, anxious, angry, bored, hurt, lonely, depressed? Or are you happy, excited, need a reward, or want to celebrate? To help identify your feelings, spend some quiet time writing in your journal or talking into a tape recorder. Or if it's easier to get in touch with your feelings with another person, call a good friend or understanding relative. You might even need to call your psychotherapist or nutrition therapist. Use email if that's an easier way to communicate. 3. Then ask yourself, what do I need? Do you actually need sleep, a hug, some intellectual stimulation, etc.? Food doesn't appropriately satisfy any of those needs. 4. In order to get your needs met, ask, would you please? Sometimes for needs to be fulfilled, you'll have to speak up and ask for help. 5. Meet your needs without using food in the following ways. Nurture yourself by taking bubble baths, listening to soothing music, getting a massage, taking a yoga class, buying yourself some flowers, etc. Deal with your feelings. Acknowledge what is troubling you. Allow your feelings to emerge. This will reduce your need to push them down with food. If necessary, provide yourself with a temporary distraction. It's okay to get away from the feelings from time to time, but you don't have to use food for this purpose. Try renting a movie, reading an absorbing book, listening to music or an audiobook, gardening, etc. 6. If you have an episode of using food to cope, see it as a red flag that something is going on in your life that needs attention. Whatever you do, don't beat yourself up for this behavior. Most people do it at times. Just take it as a learning experience and go on. Step 8, Principle 8. Respect your body. Accept your genetic blueprint. Just as a person with a shoe size of 8 would not expect to realistically squeeze into a size 6, it is equally as futile and uncomfortable to have the same expectation with body size. But mostly, respect your body, so you can feel better about who you are. It's hard to reject the diet mentality if you are unrealistic and overly critical about your body shape. 1. Appreciate the parts of your body that you especially like, whether it's your hair, waist, feet, or nose. 2. Take bubble baths and use lotions and creams that feel soothing as you rub them in. 3. Get massages and hugs and caresses that give your body the opportunity to be touched. 4. Get comfortable. Buy comfortable undergarments. Buy clothing that is flattering and fits you without being tight. 5. Don't hide your body in clothes that are too large. 6. Quit the body check game. Stop comparing yourself to everyone else in the room. It blinds you from appreciating yourself and is a setup for more body dissatisfaction. It might even create a temptation to return to dieting. 7. Don't compromise for the big event. Don't succumb to the pressure of dieting down to squeeze into that special outfit. It will only backfire. 8. Stop body bashing. Every time you focus on your imperfect body parts, it creates more self-consciousness and body worry. When you hear yourself making disparaging comments about your body, replace these comments with kind body statements. 9. Stop weighing yourself. It can only make you feel discontented with your body. 10. Respect body diversity, especially yours. 11. Be realistic about your genetic makeup. Accept your body type and know that your body is likely to balance out at its natural weight when you're consistently listening to your intuitive signals and practicing self-care. 12. Be understanding of yourself. Respect the fact that you may be higher than your normal body weight if you are someone who has used food to cope when you knew no other way to handle your feelings, or because you've been a victim of the diet mentality. Be gentle with yourself and accept that your body is where it is because you had very little choice about these factors. Step 9, Principle 9. Exercise. Feel the difference. Forget militant exercise. Just get active and feel the difference. Shift your focus to how it feels to move your body, rather than the calorie-burning effects of exercise. If you focus on how you feel from working out, such as energized, it can make the difference between rolling out of bed for a brisk morning walk or hitting the snooze alarm. If, when you wake up, your only goal is to lose weight, it's usually not a motivating factor in that moment of time. 1. Break through exercise barriers. Discover all the reasons behind any exercise resistance that you might have. It may be due to having been teased as a child, having rebelled against authority, feeling intimidated for not having a lean enough body, etc. Focus on how it feels. Exercise is primarily for feeling good. It so happens that the better you feel, the less you'll need to use food as a way to cope. It can also give you increased energy, a general aura of well-being, a sense of empowerment, and sounder sleep. Disassociate exercise from weight loss. Erase the tape of how exercise felt when you were dieting. You probably weren't getting enough calories or carbohydrates to give you the energy to exercise and feel good at the same time. Focus on exercise as a way of taking care of yourself, feeling good now, and preventing health problems later in life. Don't get caught in exercise mind games such as the "it's not worth it" trap, i.e. feeling it's not worth it if it doesn't last a specified amount of time. Couch potato denial. Being busy is not the same as physical activity. The no time to spare trap. Learn to prioritize. The "if I don't sweat, it doesn't count" trap. Physical fitness doesn't have to mean rigorous workouts. Get active in daily living. Make exercise convenient and fun. Park your car a few blocks from your destination so you can add some walking to your day. Walk upstairs instead of using the elevator. Ride your bike or walk to work if you live close enough. When you travel, take walking shoes or a jump rope. Consider choosing hotels that have workout facilities. 3. Make exercise fun. Consider playing a team sport such as volleyball, beach volleyball during the summer, softball, basketball, soccer, or tennis. Join a gym. If having others around you will motivate you, buy a treadmill or other home exercise equipment and put a TV and DVR or DVD player in front of it so you can record and watch movies or interesting programs. Listening to music or an audiobook might also make the exercise more fun. Find an exercise partner with whom you can take walks. Talking and walking can make the walk more enjoyable. 4. Make exercise a non-negotiable priority. 5. Be comfortable while exercising. 6. Include strength training so you can rebuild muscle that was lost from dieting. 7. Include stretching as part of your exercise routine. 8. Remember rest. Make sure you give yourself days of rest within your exercise week. It will prevent burnout, as well as giving your muscles a chance to refresh and repair. Step 10. Principle 10. Honor your health with gentle nutrition. Make food choices that honor your health and taste buds while making you feel well. Remember that you don't have to eat a perfect diet to be healthy. You will not suddenly get a nutrient deficiency or gain weight from one snack, one meal, or one day of eating. It's what you eat consistently over time that matters. Progress, not perfection, is what counts. 1. Consider the tenets of food wisdom: variety, moderation, and balance. As with exercise, consider nutrition as your passport into feeling good. 2. Feed your metabolism. Be sure to stoke your metabolic fire by getting sufficient fuel throughout the day by eating whenever you're hungry. 3. Eat plenty of whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, and beans for their fiber content, so your digestive tract works well. They're also a powerhouse of vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals. 4. Eat sufficient protein, but not too much, for cellular repair and production of hormones, enzymes, hair, nails, etc. 5. Eat plenty of carbohydrates and sufficient calories so your protein can be used as a protein source and not be burned as an energy source. 6. Take in an adequate amount of dairy products to get enough calcium to keep your bones strong. 7. Drink plenty of water to aid digestion, prevent constipation, have sufficient blood volume, and cleanse your kidneys. 8. Eat an adequate amount of fat. We need fat in our diets for these reasons: to promote satiety, to help build cell walls, including brain cells, for absorption of fat-soluble vitamins, and for production of hormones. Whenever possible, choose quality fats, such as avocado, olive oil, nuts, etc. 9. Allow for some play foods, in order to balance your good health with pleasure and satisfaction. Let most of your food choices be made for physical health, while some of them are for simple pleasure. 10. Don't be duped by the fat-free trap. Fat-free doesn't mean calorie-free or nutrient-dense. These foods tend to be limited in nutrients while having an overabundance of sugar. Fat-free foods often are not as satisfying as low-fat foods. They also create an illusion of being low-calorie and lead to overconsumption before you know it. 11. Get off the food pedestal. You don't have to be perfect. Honor your health, your taste buds, and your humanness. These guidelines summarize the chapters of this book. The order in which they're presented is not an absolute, just as nothing in this book is absolute, except for giving up the pursuit of dieting. Use them as your recipe card, as we suggested at the beginning of this appendix. But just as you might improvise in cooking your dish from the written recipe, be creative with these guidelines. Use what feels right for you. Add to them if you like, and discard what doesn't fit. The bottom line is to trust your gut. Use your intuitive talents to feel comfortable with eating and to release yourself from the prison of dieting. This concludes the reading of Intuitive Eating, a Revolutionary Program That Works by Evelyn Tribbley, MS, RD, and Elise Resch, MS, RD, FADA, CEDRD. Copyrights 1995, 2003, 2012 by Evelyn Tribbley, MS, RD, and Elise Resch, MS, RD, FADA, CEDRD. This book was read by Pam Ward. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with St. Martin's Press and was produced in 2012 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.